It's time for our weekly catch-up with ACT Party Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden.
So this week, myself and Brooke talked over two topics. We started by talking about the Waikerea prison, where some prisoners have been compensated since the riots which occurred. And I started off by asking if ACT understood that those who were being compensated were not those who rioted. And then later on in our interview, we talk about the proposed hate speech laws, which are being talked about especially a lot in the past week. So here's our chat. And I start off by asking, as I said before, whether ACT understood that those who were compensated were not those who rioted.
Oh, absolutely. So we are a party that believes that we should be putting victims at the centre of crime. So even though the prisoners were not the ones who started the riot, these are not nice people. These prisoners are in jail because they hurt people. And what this government has just asked victims of crime to do is pay their taxes to these criminals for compensation when they themselves did not get compensation for the crimes that these criminals offended against them. And I think that's wrong. I think the government has its priorities completely out of order. When we also take, for example, I've been fronting on the Pharmac inquiry issue.
Does ACT understand?
The government has explicitly ruled out funding for people who have conditions where they have things like cystic fibrosis, and you have children who are not getting funding for the drugs that they need to live a productive life in New Zealand. And the government is saying, sorry, we're not going to consider any more funding for you, but we will to a criminal in prison.
Yes, there's people who aren't receiving funding for things like Pharmac, but in the situation of the Waikerea prison, people were rioting because they were having their human rights violated. They weren't being given basic necessities. Does ACT understand that people do deserve better treatment in prisons when they're being put in those situations?
I think, in principle, we want all New Zealanders to live in a fair society where if their rights are violated, then they are compensated for that.
Then why does ACT oppose people having their rights, being compensated for having their rights violated in this situation?
Well, this is about fairness. Are we talking about the compensation of the rights of the victims of these people? There's a reason why these people were put in prison in the first place. It's because the government decided that these people needed to be kept separate from society to keep other people safe. We are not, when we're discussing compensating prisoners in this regard, thinking of victims' rights. And how insulting this is for victims when they are not getting compensated for the crimes that criminals have offended against them, but they need to now pay their taxes to now compensate them.
So ACT has said that part of ACT's policy when it comes to dealing with prisoners is that prisoners should have to all go through skills and rehabilitation programs before being allowed to go on parole. Does ACT feel that prisoners could only benefit society if they're able to work and provide back through work?
So we have a bill under the name of our member Tony Severin, who's our corrections spokesperson, that would say that if you're a prisoner and you meet rehabilitation standards, some to do with literacy, numeracy, skills and work, then your sentence could be reduced. And that is because there are many people in our prisons who could, upon exiting prison, become part of the workforce and actually become a productive member of society rather than going into gangs. And that's because a lot of people don't meet those basic numeracy and literacy standards. So we're saying, well, in fact, if you are in prison, you should be using that time to reflect on the crimes that you've committed, but also using that time to become a better member of society.
Okay, so I wanted to move on to our next topic for this week, which was talking about the proposed hate speech laws, which have been talked about a lot in the past week or so. So ACT has opposed the hate speech laws which have been proposed. What would ACT offer as an alternative so that those who hold views which do incite violence can be prosecuted?
Well, I think we have to start with the basic point that freedom of speech is the foundation of a free society. And then we have to ask the question of our laws. Our laws should always be structured in a way that they are clear to people so that they know what they are violating and why. And the problem that we have with the government's supposed hate speech laws is that they are unnecessarily divisive, but they're also going to be extremely hard to interpret. We had this weekend, both the Prime Minister and the Justice Minister went on national TV and they could not answer basic questions about how this law would actually work in practice.
What does ACT offer as an alternative to help stop people from being able to incite violence through hate speech? That's what I wanted to know. What does ACT propose?
We already have a law that says that it's a crime to incite violence, and that should be a crime.
Well, but hatred and discrimination are not the same thing as inciting violence.
There is a very big difference here between a law that is structured in a way that somebody can actually know where the line that they have crossed is and what this government is actually proposing. So the question is not, what is your alternative to a hate speech law? The question is, how does the government actually want to define hate speech if they are to create a new law? And the government cannot do that. You had the Justice Minister unable to answer the question of, if millennials criticise boomers for the housing crisis, would that be considered hate speech? That's a very important threshold to know whether you have crossed or not. Now, these are things that people are going to be saying online in face-to-face conversations. It's extremely important that if the government is going to change the law to have a hate speech law, that people know whether or not their speech will actually violate a line. And when you have the minister unable to answer those simple questions, that means that the courts will be unable to be clear on who has actually committed hate crime against a group of people. And so I think it's extremely unwise for us to progress with this type of law because you'll end up in a society where people don't know if they are in fact breaking the law. And they will end up with people being divided against each other and pitting each other off each other because the police will be involved in policing what they determine to be good or bad speech.
Well, in many situations, does ACT understand that just because the law is present doesn't mean it's always enforced? We've got so many different situations, marijuana use, assault, petty theft, sexual harassment, where it's a crime that's committed every single day, but there's nowhere near as many situations where it's actually prosecuted. Wouldn't the same go for hate speech when it comes to things like millennials criticising boomers?
Well, I think you're answering your own question there on whether or not we should create a new law if you don't believe it's actually going to be enforced.
In some situations, it will need to be enforced,
If we don't think it's going to be enforced, then we shouldn't pass the law. It would be completely useless. So you shouldn't pass it. What we already have in our laws are things that say you cannot incite violence. So you're right. Maybe the solution is simply that we just police the laws we currently have better.
this whole situation has primarily stemmed from the fact that we had the Christchurch attacks, and the Royal Commission has said that these laws wouldn't have prevented the attacks. But shouldn't we focus on the impact that that these laws could have on preventing future attacks?
Well, I completely reject that premise. So the Prime Minister said that this law was about inciting violence. She also said that it wouldn't touch your political opinion. And she also said it was being brought about because of the Royal Commission into the March 15 terror attack. Now, all three of those points are completely wrong. The Cabinet paper says it would potentially include political opinion. The government,
I mean, in many situations, a political opinion could be very harmful to some people. In many situations, political opinions have led to wars and inciting violence. So shouldn't we be trying to prevent that?
Well, I think the question here is, if we have a law where it's not clear what is or is not in scope or where the line is, you'll end up with people who never thought that their political opinion would be the one that would be policed. I mean, you think of minority rights, for an example. Kate Shepherd, years ago, when she was saying that women should have the right to vote...
Yes, but that wasn't a view that was going to harm people. That wasn't a view that was going to harm people.
Well, it was going to harm a lot of men who thought that they had more rights over women.
Yes, but was that going to incite violence?
It could have incited violence, and that's the problem. It's extremely subjective. It's not whether or not somebody's view has in fact incited violence. This law has nothing to do with that.
That was Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party talking about the compensation of Waikiria prisoners and the proposed hate speech laws, which have been talked a lot about in media recently.
That was Deputy Leader Brooke Van Velden from the ACT Party.